Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint, powered by Manx Telecom.
Pastor Mai, good evening. It's 5:30. This is Update for Monday, 8th of June 2020 from Manx Radio. A 30-minute look at the latest news on the island, plus sport, business, Sea Watch, travel updates and the newsmakers in person. No new confirmed cases of C19 for the 19th day, so that's 336 in total. And currently no active cases. We have comment from the Chief Minister and the Education Minister. A new budget next month and MHK wants to know what's going to happen. Pubs open a week today, so what state is the industry in? The largest satellite company in the world is pulling out of the Isle of Man, and the Black Lives protest is in Douglas tomorrow, but why here?
Man Benham Advocates, for your legal needs.
First of all, the update news headlines at 29 minutes to 6. Faster Mai, Ed Oldham.
Faster Mai, it's day 19 of no new cases of COVID-19 in the Isle of Man. Chief Minister Howard Quayle made the announcement at today's government media conference. He says that we should look back with pride at what we have achieved so far. The introduction of quarantine rules for those crossing the UK border won't affect travellers from the Isle of Man. Under changes brought in today, the British government is asking those arriving to self-isolate for 2 weeks, but this doesn't apply to those coming from within the common travel area, which includes the Isle of Man. The Manx government's confirmed TV licences for the over 75s will remain free of charge for the rest of 2020. Pensioners who are over the threshold and have a licence up to the end of May have now had them extended until the end of July. They will then be automatically renewed until the end of December. Further afield, coronavirus-related deaths across the UK have dropped to their lowest levels since before lockdown was imposed. A further 55 fatalities have been reported, but numbers are typically lower following the weekend. There were no new deaths recorded in Northern Ireland or Scotland for the second day in a row. Prince Andrew's legal team has insisted he's offered on three occasions this year to help US authorities investigating convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. It's after the US Department of Justice made a formal request to interview the Duke of York as a witness. And Scotland Yard has revealed 49 officers were injured during disorder in London in recent days. The Police Federation has demanded an apology from commanders after officers without helmets or shields were pelted with bottles. Those are the headlines. News in full at 6.
Man Benham can provide guidance over the phone, by video call and email. We'd be happy to connect with you. Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Goramaya, thank you, Ed. From the Ronalds Way Met Office and the pen of Neil Young, the Irish Sea weather indicates no warnings out at sea for the next 24 hours. Dry and clear across the island tonight and overnight. Low temperature, 7 degrees. For Tuesday, Jemur, dry with sunny intervals tomorrow. Daytime maximum 14 degrees. Thickening cloud towards dusk may bring a few spots of rain tomorrow evening. Overnight minimum is 10. And Wednesday, Ukraine, a wet start, then dry with bright intervals. Top temperature 14 degrees. Low waters at 8:30 tonight. Sunset 11 minutes to 10. High water overnight 27 minutes past 2. Sunrise at 14 minutes to 5. And low water for Tuesday morning is at 5 to 9.
Visit the Manx Glass and Glazing website and get your instant quote online. Manxglass.com.
26 minutes to 6 on update. Today is the 19th day in a row we've had no new cases of COVID-19 on the island, with the total number now 336. At today's media briefing, the Chief Minister said we should look back with pride at what we've done. He was joined by the Education Minister, Dr. Alex Allinson, who provided more detail about how many island students will be going back to school.
The Department of Education, Sport and Culture has been working closely with teachers and other key staff to allow the island's children to return to their schools. On Monday the 15th, all our schools will reopen and those pupils currently in the hubs will return to their own local school on the 17th. From Monday the 22nd of June, all Year 2 and Year 6 pupils and Year 10 and 12 students will be able to return to their own school full time. I've been contacted by many parents anxious about whether their children will be able to get back to school before the end of this term. I'd like to apologise for any uncertainty and recognise that parents want to have definite dates to plan around. A large amount of work has been done preparing schools. Classrooms have been altered, hand-washing facilities installed, and enhanced cleaning regimes devised to ensure our schools are safe places for all pupils and staff. I would like to thank Mrs. Fiona Fitzpatrick for a letter she sent to me today, which included a range of questions from many parents who've been discussing their children's education online. She asked us to publish a clear plan to enable all children to return to their schools by the end of July. Next week, we'll be in a much better position to make sure our schools have the capacity to do this. Classes will be smaller and more self-contained. Staff have been redeployed and lunchtime staggered. Whilst I know New Zealand has abandoned the need for social distancing, on the Isle of Man, we need to keep our guard up at this time and make sure we are prepared for any recurrence of the virus. But we will be reviewing this guidance to schools with public health. And if the health situation remains stable, we'll accelerate the intention to allow reception and year 9 children to return, followed by years 1, 4 and 8, and shortly afterwards, 3, 5 and 7.
Manx Radio's update is available as a daily podcast. Simply subscribe for free online at manxradio.com or via Apple, Google or Spotify.
Alfred Cannon, MHK, the Treasury Minister, will present a new budget in July to outline the Manx government's fiscal response to the C19 crisis. And MHK wants to know if Mr. Cannon will include specific initiatives aimed at regenerating high streets. Arbury, Castletown and Maloo member Jason Morehouse is asking about the subject in Keys tomorrow. He explained why to Ewan Gawn.
More and more noticeable that more and more people are using the internet to purchase things that they want. And one really memorable thing about the budget was the way in which Alf spoke about buying local and all that type of thing, and it's something he's repeated since. I do think there's an opportunity at the moment to actually do things to get that regeneration into the shops. Traditional regeneration is focused on town squares and the areas around it, but I think we need to kind of make that next leap and try and really help the shopkeepers and encourage people back into those shops.
Surely the shopkeepers are never going to be able to compete with the online offering.
It depends on how you look at it. In terms of price, sometimes you may be paying slightly more, but you're able to take it back to the shop, you'll be able to go and get advice, you're able to look at it, touch it, really, you know, make sure it's the object you're looking for. So there are huge advantages, and it's also important in terms of going forward, you know, when the tourists come back and they want to wander down the old streets and pop into the shops, it's really important that those shops are there and providing that service. I think, you know, it's something we need to think about, not just for day-to-day use, but also that bigger use.
Well, what sort of initiatives do you have in mind, really? Do you have any specific ideas?
It could be anything from looking at the environment of the shops. It could be coming up with some kind of initiative in terms of financial assistance. It could be looking at taxes paid by those shopkeepers and looking at, you know, other ways to actually make it more attractive to be a shopkeeper and to reinvest in your business. So there are lots of options, and it's something that I think more and more people have thought about in the last 10 weeks that, you know, those shops are there and we can use are really huge assets to the local economy. And as more and more shops have opened, I think more and more people are thinking, yeah, I'd like to use them, but, you know, is it the time? And I think really it is the time. And I think next month when the budget statement comes out, there could be something in it that, you know, really makes a difference.
Sea Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
The next departure, 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. Minadan heads for Heysham. Of course, the Steam Packet's fast craft continues to operate daytime sailings to Heysham. The motor ship Bamber Cree provides our overnight freight service.
Follow the Steam Packet on Twitter for the latest sailing information.
It's been announced pubs can reopen their doors for meals from a week today, Monday 15th, and can do so completely a fortnight later. But what does it mean for the island's landlords? Is it welcome news? What damage has already been done? Guy Armstrong Rossiter is chairman of the Isle of Man Licensed Victuallers Association and also licensee of the Rover's Return in Douglas. He spoke to Dolan Mercer.
It's absolutely huge news. It's very welcome. We've all been itching to get back, and basically, we couldn't open our doors quick enough. It's been a really hard, but it'll be 3 months. And it's been a long 3 months as well when you're used to dealing with the public every day and welcoming people into your establishment. It's been really difficult not being able to do that. So it's much welcome news.
Obviously, you're in touch with lots of other landlords around the island. What sort of impact has the closure had for people in the industry? Are we likely to see maybe pubs shutting or anything like that?
It's really a mixed bag of feelings. There's possibly some houses may close, other ones possibly might not be reopening straight away. Obviously, every house is in a different position financially. The financial impacts have been huge with stock losses, trying to keep staff on, all the overheads that are still coming in. Obviously, the rates, the daily upkeep of the pub, not to mention a lot of places have HP agreements where obviously the payments still have to be made, and there are huge implications when you've got no income or very limited income coming in as well. So everybody is, as I say, itching to get back open and start trading again. It's the issue of the social distancing. Certain houses have expressed concerns whether it will be viable in the smaller places where social distancing would obviously limit the numbers. For these houses, it's up to each operator to make their own decisions whether it is viable for the business to open. And obviously, again, this will have an impact. We're waiting to see what the guidance is and how we can accommodate and be flexible with the pubs and actually increase capacity without putting at risk any of our patrons or the staff, obviously.
Manx Radio's Business Briefing, brought to you by KPMG.
19 minutes to 6, UK universities are bracing for a 50% drop in international students next academic year, with new figures pointing to a £460 million income loss from East Asia enrolments. A British Council survey found 14,000 fewer students from 8 countries, including China, Singapore and Malaysia, are expected. China's the UK's biggest source of international students. That's on top of institutions facing a £760 million in loss in mass deferments from students unwilling to pay full fees for online courses only. The UK advertising industry could bounce back relatively quickly after the disruption of the C19 crisis. An analysis from Citigroup says agencies and major advertisers like Unilever and Coca-Cola found that cuts to marketing budgets are temporary due to the fear of dropping out of public view.
KPMG, here for your business through these unprecedented times. Contact IOM at kpmg.co.im. The Stock Market Report, brought to you by Ramsey Crookall.
UK and European stocks closed lower as focus remained on the C19 pandemic and global protests against racism. American stocks mostly rose and briefly lifted the Nasdaq composite to a new intraday record high. Oil slipped after Saudi Arabia said an extension of output cuts by OPEC nations wouldn't include extra voluntary cuts by a trio of Gulf producers. Gold rose, boosted by hopes of a dovish monetary policy from the US Fed. In corporate news, international Consolidated Airlines, along with Ryanair and EasyJet, sent a pre-action protocol letter setting out their objections to the UK order forcing overseas air passengers to self-isolate for 14 days. AstraZeneca reportedly approached Gilead Sciences about a potential merger. They didn't set out any terms and companies aren't in formal talks. And the numbers at the close in London, the FTSE 100 was down about a tenth of a percent at 6,472. The DAX in Frankfurt down a fifth of a percent at 12,819. At 5 o'clock in New York City, the Dow Jones Industrial Average up a percent at 27,402. The Nasdaq Tech Stocks Index up a third of a percent at 9,844. And in Chicago, the S&P 500 up half a percent at 3,210. In the exchange markets, the British pound sterling is worth $1 $26.8 and €1 $12.2. In commodities, gold is up half a percent at $1,691 an ounce, and a barrel of Brent crude down 2% at $41.03.
With uncertainty impacting global stock markets, you might think it's not the time to be investing. Well, think again. Times like these offer great opportunities to benefit from future recovery. Make your new normal an investment with Ramsey Crookall, your investment specialists. Call 717171 or visit ramseycrookall.com for more information. Licensed and regulated by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
There are to be 14 redundancies on the Isle of Man as SES closes its island office. The satellite company, the largest one in the world of its kind, set a max base since 2004. The office has grown over the past 16 years, providing teleport and backup satellite operation centre services. Alex Watton spoke to Ewan Gorn all about it.
In 2014, a four-dish teleport, a telecommunications port facility, was created here. That was built at Carnane on the outskirts of Douglas. It was highly publicised at the time. It aimed to bring broadcasters and business to the Isle of Man, working with the then Department of Economic Development. Now, of course, that's the Department for Enterprise. In its application, SES said the facility would be the first space industry-related physical infrastructure here, growing the presence of the island's space, ICT and digital media business and job base. Well, in a statement, the Department for Enterprise says the digital sector in the Isle of Man remains key to our economy and the department, and it says they'll continue to work with industry to ensure the island's diverse offering is well positioned for the future.
With such a seemingly growing presence on the island then, why is the company closing the office?
Well, the company announced in March a Simplify and Amplify transformation programme, an international shake-up. You've got to remember, this is the biggest company of its kind in the world. Its headquarters is in Luxembourg, but is spread far and wide, places like Kiev, Stockholm, all over. So when SES announced it's restructuring its worldwide operations, the Isle of Man is one of a number of casualties. And a company spokesperson told us the aim of closing these offices is to improve overall efficiency and effectiveness of their work by consolidating functions in fewer locations.
How many people, employees that is, will this affect?
We've been told 14 employees currently work in the office here in technology and support functions, and all are to be made redundant. SES says some of the staff members, though, will be offered options to relocate or transfer their roles. The Enterprise Department has also said it's working alongside Treasury to support people affected by the closure to source alternative employment at what they describe as a challenging time. And the move by the company will have an overall impact of 10 to 15% of its global workforce.
Manx Radio's update, powered by Manx Telecom, providing the island's first truly unlimited tariff.
Good evening, it's 13 minutes to 6. This is Update Live from the Isle of Man on Manx Radio. And a Black Lives Matter protest planned in Douglas tomorrow aims to show solidarity with the international cause. Demonstrations are taking place around the world to highlight the issue of police brutality against black people in the United States. One of those involved in the protest on the Isle of Man is Barnard Mensah, president of the Africans and Caribbeans of Man organization. Alex Watton spoke to Mr. Mensah.
On the Isle of Man, they are traces of people having experienced such racist comments, even from young children in schools or even their workplaces. And, you know, this has sparked the conversation where people are actually talking about their experiences that they've had in the past and even in current days. So there's a lot happening in the US, and it's sad, and we show solidarity for what's actually happening. And we're asking people to donate where they can to the organizations that are in the US helping families go through this difficult time. But also in the Isle of Man, we're trying to, you know, highlight or make people aware that there are traces of racism on the Isle of Man. And we're trying to beat this by coming together. And togetherness, we are strong as one.
Do you think those traces, people are aware of them? Because lots of people will say it doesn't exist here at all.
Oh yeah, we've had comments it doesn't exist, but then the stories that I'm reading on Facebook and other social media handles, they are quite shocking. I'm sure many people will be surprised that actually this is even happening in the Isle of Man. So it's just people voicing out what their experiences are.
And what does it mean to you to take part in this march on the Isle of Man?
It goes a very long way. Being a parent, I mean, we're paving the way for the generation to come to know, like, you know, in 2020, this time, the Isle of Man, this is what we did. We all came together to fight this. We're taking a stand for injustice. A fellow human being of a human race was unjustly treated. We are all part of one race, the human race. No one is more than or less than the next person. Perhaps it is time that we start celebrating and embracing our differences. Perhaps it is time to lay aside our judgments and fears and extend a hand of friendship to our neighbour.
Manx Radio Sport.
10 to 6, Fastermy, Ed Oldham.
Fastermy. Groundbreaking electric motorcycle technology will feature in the forthcoming TT and Motorsport Gallery at the Manx Museum. Japanese firm Mugen has dominated the last 6 years of the clean emissions race at TT Zero, securing consecutive wins with the likes of Bruce Anstey, John McGuinness and Michael Rutter riding their Shindant machines. Mugen say they were eager to ensure the advances in technology achieved on the Isle of Man were not forgotten, following the dropping of the race from this year's subsequently cancelled event after a decade. They've decided, therefore, to present one of their machines from the 2019 campaign to Manx National Heritage. The gallery at the Manx Museum is scheduled to open in 2022. A local snooker player says he was disappointed with his first attempt at the First Poke Challenge, streamed live on Facebook. Cuists around the world are taking part in a fundraising competition started by World Seniors Snooker. In the first challenge of its kind, players place the six colour balls on their spots, swapping the black with the brown, and then lining the red balls up the middle of the table. The objective is to score as many points as possible without missing, with 147 being the perfect score, and the current record standing at 137 from Austrian youngster Florian Nussler. Ex-professional Daryl Hill managed just 24 before missing a red into the middle pocket, with more than 3,300 people watching. And further afield, a West London derby between Fulham and Brentford will restart the Championship season. The match will kick off at 12:30 on Saturday the 20th of June. No games have been played in the second tier since the 8th of March due to coronavirus.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Auto Solutions.
At Ronald's Way, the 4:40 to London Heathrow left 10 minutes early. The 4:50, 10 to 5 to Liverpool hasn't left yet. Consequently, the inbound from Liverpool won't be in at 20 to 7. They say it's going to be in at 10 past 7. It'll be lucky. The next arrival after that's the 8 o'clock inbound from London Heathrow. On the roads, Main Road Kirkmichael's got two-way traffic signals for highway resurfacing, and Peel Road Union Mills three-way signals for drainage installation. Douglas Road Ballasella has got 24-hour signals for the service installation and bus stop construction. At Glen Olden, look out for two-way traffic signals. There's stone wall repairs going on there. It's on 24 hours a day. Well, the signals, not the wall repairs. Also look out at Ballagorry Farm Lane in Glen Mona. There's a temporary closure for the MER crossing level crossing rebuild. And all the information is at manxradio.com, powered by Millie Chaps of Ramsey. Go to the travel page and the matrix signs still say 40 miles an hour. Stay home, save lives.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by
Auto Solutions, 670-145.
Travellers to the UK now have to quarantine for a fortnight in measures similar to those seen on the Isle of Man for some weeks. Some are exempt, including people coming from the Isle of Man and Ireland, but many aren't happy about the new measures across the water, including heads of several big travel companies. BA and EasyJet have submitted pre-legal action letters to the British government. The chief exec of EasyJet, Johan Lundgren, spoke to Sky's Ian King.
This makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. There's no underlying medical or scientific evidence why this should be in any way an effective measure from a public health point of view. And it's much more better to have a targeted approach that is based on the solutions of air bridges that we have proposed. And that's what we'd like to see that this gets replaced with.
What is your hope here with this legal action? Is it that the quarantine period will be overturned as quickly as possible?
Yes, we think that there's enough evidence and there's a strong case here that this should be challenged by the courts. This is something that has been rushed through. It's not in proportion to what it's doing. This is something that is now going to be in place for 12 months and it will be reviewed every 3 weeks. But the basis on which it will be renewed upon and evaluated is very unclear because the underlying proposition is unclear. So it's tremendously difficult to see how this would actually be removed. And that's why we have an argument to say that this is something that needs to be tested and challenged.
Now, you're planning to resume your domestic flights a week today. What proportion of the regular schedule will be running?
It will be a very small part of the regular schedule that will start up from the 15th of June. And then from July and August and September, we said that we estimate about 30% of the original planned capacity will come into place. But of course, this quarantine effect will be of critical importance if you are to see any air connectivity or any connectivity whatsoever overseas, because this prohibits us from actually operating as we go forward.
But you will be operating international flights by this time next month, a proportion of the regular schedule.
Yes, we will be operating flight as we see that there is a demand. But one of the problems with this, Ian, is that when these quarantines have been in place in some countries way earlier, we could see that there was basically no or very little demand at all. So this is going to have a tremendous also negative impact on the whole of the industry that is in so desperate need now to get starting to fly and get to operate again.
Manx Radio's update, powered by Manx Telecom, investing in our people and technology.
And you wonder when EasyJet will make it back to the Isle of Man. The Manx Labour Party's long enjoyed electoral representation in Tynwald up till recently, and its chair says they have plans to do so again. Following David Cretney's retirement from Manx politics earlier this year, when he stepped down from LegCo, there are now no members of the Manx Labour Party in LegCo or Keys. Dolan Mercer spoke to David Cretney about how they now go ahead to get the party's voice heard.
Well, I, as a chair, will email, if it's a government issue, if it's an issue which we require a response from the government, we will contact them. We've done that several times in relation to the COVID situation. We've had positive responses, and so as such, that's helpful. If it were to be a local authority matter, then we have local authority representation, although it's limited at the moment, and we're hoping that that's going to improve in the future. And obviously the local authority elections, we were gearing up for those before they were put off for a year. We have members who are ready to stand and hopefully to work alongside others, because we accept that we won't be in a majority, but we need to work alongside others, as we always have, to try and make the best and fairest solutions for those we seek to represent.
And I think I probably know the answer. Does the party have plans for the Keys election next year as well?
Yes, the answer to that would be we will be contesting the House of Keys elections as we did in 2016. And it's very likely that if a by-election is called in relation to the sad passing of my former colleague Bill Mullarkey, that we will contest that by-election as well.
The voice of David Cretney, veteran figure from Manx politics, and the future of the Manx Labour Party. It's 3 minutes to six. That's it for Update tonight. Remember, Update is on our FM network on AM 1368. Manx Radio's Mountain Memories, reliving the TT. Classic race commentaries, period interviews and documentaries through until what would have been Senior Race Day this coming Friday, the 12th of June. Stick around after the news at 6 o'clock. Agenda's on with Ewan Gorn. We got greatest hits with Simon Quine at 6:30. Time for Brass is at 9 with Ian Codger and George Ferguson on The Late Show at 10 tonight. Updates compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's news department. Thanks to newsreader Ed Oldham, producer Ewan Gorn. I'm Andy Wint, and Update is back Tuesday evening at 5:30. Have a great evening. W-I-N-T.